be to you from God, our Father, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that hymn actually fits with our reading from 1 Peter pretty well. And as it happens, that's where I'm going to be preaching from today. And for the next few Sundays, we'll get readings from 1 Peter, and I thought we would spend time there. Peter is one of the apostles. In the Gospels, he's usually considered the leader of the disciples. Anytime he speaks, it's often he's speaking on behalf of all the disciples. In his letters, he's writing to converted Jews and Gentiles, people that are a part of the scattering of the church. The churches that he's writing to are located mainly in what we would consider modern-day Turkey. So they're people that are far away from the Holy Land, at least in terms of relativity, I guess. They're relatively far away from the Holy Land. They're dispersed, but they are Jews and Gentiles converted to faith in Christ. And to them, Peter writes his letter. In his letter, Paul says this, or Peter says this: "If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. For we know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors." You were ransomed from futile ways. Whenever I hear that word futile, I think of Star Trek, and the resistance is futile is one of the words of the Borg, one of the bad guys in Star Trek. And what that word means is that things are useless. If something is futile, it's useless. It's worthless. It has no usability, it has no benefit to it at all. And Peter here tells the people that you were ransomed, you were taken away from futility, converted, changed from one thing to another. And in this case, he's saying, he's not giving very many specifics as to what they were ransomed from, except that it was futile. But that this futility was something that they were raised in. It came from their ancestors. And so our question this morning is about the futility of our own ways. What kind of things in our own lives are futile, useless, worthless when it comes to our relationship with our Lord? And I think we can break this down into three different categories. First of all, it can be futile in the way that Peter is talking to the churches in Asia Minor. For him, they're ransomed from futile ways that their ancestors raised them in. And here it's a specific thing, that they once had a faith that was not believing in Jesus Christ. They had faith in gods other than the true God. They had a belief in someone other than Jesus Christ. And Peter quite plainly says, faith like that is futile. It's worthless. There is only salvation through one person, and that is through Jesus. Faith in any other God is useless. And as we learned in our gospel lessons throughout Lent, we remember hearing that Jesus is exclusive about himself. It's Jesus or nothing else. You can't pair Jesus with some other religion. That also is futile. So one way we can live in futility is by giving our worship to some other God, some other deity, some other place. Luther says it this way: whenever your heart, or whatever your heart clings to and confides in, That is your God. And so if your heart clings to something other than Jesus Christ, if your heart confides in something or someone other than Jesus Christ, that is your God. And that God is futile, worthless, useless. It gives no benefit. Another way in which we live futility in our lives is by pursuing desires that run contrary to God's will. We can do things that God simply does not want us to do. Things in our lives that we are tempted towards. Maybe it's lusting after another person, going into an affair, things like this. This is futility. It takes us away from the Lord, takes us from worshiping the one true God. And in that case, Luther's quote stands up again. Because then our heart is confiding in something else, some other desire, something outside of Jesus Christ. Another way that we live futilely is relying on our own deeds, our own abilities, our own obedience to the Lord. And again, here I refer to Martin Luther. Martin Luther, early in his life, became a monk. He had this crazy experience that involved a thunderstorm, a lightning storm. And he prayed out and said, "Lord, if you deliver me from this, I'll become a monk." And so he does. He becomes a monk, and he becomes the best darn monk that has ever been. And after a while, after reflecting on his life, Luther says this: "If ever a monk could have reached heaven by monkery," which is a great word, by the way, "then it was I." Luther worked hard as a monk. He was rigorous in his study of Scripture, in his daily sacrifices that came with being a monk. Rigorous in it all. Because he believed that by being obedient and following the law of the Lord, that perhaps God would have mercy on his soul. But even this, our own deeds, our own rigorous obedience to the law, is futile when it comes to our salvation. And so Peter tells the people, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things, like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish." If you ever want to know how valuable you are to the Lord, it's right here. You could not be bought. You could not be saved by any amount of gold or silver or precious jewels. That was not good enough to buy you. You are worth the blood of Christ. And by the blood of Christ, you have been taken out of futility. Taken out of all those ways that you might have thought salvation would come, taken away from those things, and claimed by Jesus, by His precious blood. And Peter goes on and he talks about how your ransom, the fact that Jesus paid for you with His own blood, was not a last minute act of desperation to save you and save humanity. Peter tells us that this was planned. This was God's plan. It was destined to happen before the foundation of the world itself. Before you were just a thought in God the Father's mind, He had already planned to pay for your salvation with the blood of His Son. That is how valuable you are. That is how you have then come to have faith in Christ. That is also how you have this ability, as Peter talks about, to call upon God as your Father. These are amazing things that Peter has given his people, given us in this word. And as all epistles do, as all letters from the apostles or Paul do, they give us this beautiful gospel in order to point us to something else. And in this case, it's to point us to how we should live now. How we should live as people who have been ransomed and deemed valuable, so valuable that Christ would give His blood for us. And so Peter tells us, first, we are to live in reverent fear of God, because our deeds don't match up to what God has for us. Because our deeds get us nowhere before the Lord. Because God judges impartially. We live in reverent fear before the Lord who has saved you. We are to continually cast off those things that are futile as we live in fear of the Lord. And this, for Peter, begins in one place in particular. At the end of this passage, Peter tells us, "Now that you have been purified, live with genuine mutual love. Love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God." As a preacher, as your pastor, there are times where I feel like I am also a doctor. Not in that I'm a healer for anybody, but in that there's times where I think I'm called upon to diagnose certain issues that our church might have. And I think one of the issues that our church might have is exactly what Peter is talking about here, which is the beginning point of what it means to live as Christians. And that is to have a brotherly love for fellow Christians. To look at each other, those sitting next to you, those sitting across the aisle, those sitting in front and behind, to look at them and recognize that they have been paid also by the blood of Christ. That they are just as valuable to the Lord as you are. And that the beginning point of living as a Christian is to first have love for other Christians. Because the people sitting next to you are your true brothers and sisters. We cannot hope to love the rest of the world if we can't love the ones sitting in this very room with us. This is where the call to Christians begins. And this is where Peter ends this passage. Have genuine mutual love. Love one another deeply from the heart. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, you have loved us deeply from your own heart. So much so that you saw it only fit to save us by the blood of your Son. Nothing else would do.